CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump touts his pick to head the Department of Health and Human Services as the medical community expresses concern over Robert F. Kennedy Jr. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
The consensus is they're angry. They're very concerned that RFK Jr. simply does not have the scientific background to do this job properly.
House Ethics Committee could vote today on releasing details of its investigation into Matt Gaetz, Mr. Trump's choice for attorney general. CBS's Michael Kaplan.
People close to the committee who I've spoken with say it's hard to imagine that this document or the details in this document never sees the light of day.
Trial set to begin today for the man accused of murdering a Georgia nursing student. The suspect was in the country illegally. University of Georgia law professor Ron Carlson.
I anticipate we will see an O.J. Simpson type defense. That is, the defense will challenge the reliability of fingerprint evidence and DNA.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Packers get ready for Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers practice outdoors in some light rain as they head out to face the Bears at Soldier Field Sunday. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley was asked, why did linebacker Preston Smith ask to be traded out of Green Bay and is now with the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak of what happened behind closed doors, requesting a trade, not liking the system. I have a great relationship with Preston. I talked to him after immediately and, you know, I was happy to see him move on to a good place with a coach who I really respect. And I thought he did a really nice job. I think he's got a great opportunity now where he is. And that's really all I got for you.
College football, the Badgers host Oregon tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. High school football semifinals, the winners tonight advance to the state title games next week at Camp Randall. Basketball, the Badgers men's team, home tonight against Arizona. The Bucks in Charlotte tomorrow night against the Hornets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
We have a pretty nice weekend ahead, and you want to get out and enjoy it because things are eventually going to start to go downhill next week. Today, mostly cloudy, 53 this afternoon. Tonight, down to 44. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 54. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Matt and Pete Gunderson. We recently celebrated the life of Dan, a devoted motorcyclist who enjoyed the freedom of the road with other bikers. His celebration involved a final ride in the saddlebag of his best friend, just the way he wanted. Allow us to personalize every detail of a life well lived.
Let our family help your family.
Visit GundersonFH.com. Over 100 years as your hometown life celebration center.
The J. JR Sport Brief.
College athletics is going to be in the toilet. The system is going to be in the toilet for the foreseeable future. It's going to be a mess, I don't want to say for the next decade, but it's going to take them about that long to iron everything out. Rome was not built in a day. And the fact that you had a system that exploited the athletes for as many years as it did, to just overturn that overnight and just make it a free-for-all, yeah, these are the results.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Friday morning. Good morning, everyone. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke checking in here on the Midwest Farm Report from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting here in Kansas City. A couple hours way before the crew and I are headed back to Wisconsin. If you're going to be out and about early this morning, you might notice a little patchy fog around the state. Otherwise, that should burn off and see sunshine for the rest of our Friday. Daytime highs today right around 53 degrees, just a little bit of a breeze. Tonight, cloudy down to 39. Saturday, sunshine 54. Sunday, clouds, but still 57 degrees. Next week, we start off with a chance of rain. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has got weather details in about 15 minutes. Also, we have a new Leopold Conservation Award winner to recognize. It was announced yesterday at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protections board meeting. We'll tell you who those folks are coming up on a Friday.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above-ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
As winter approaches, some unexpected house guests are looking for a cozy shelter, and they're not exactly the welcome type. Wildlife expert Marcus Mueller, owner of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control, explains that as temperature drops, critters like mice and squirrels are eager to find warmth in our homes. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and this seasonal invasion brings some challenges and plenty of surprises, from mysterious attic noises to some tricky evictions. Mueller shares some insights and advice for homeowners facing the annual rodent rush and the unexpected wildlife that comes with winter.
This time of year, it's all about rodents. So mice and squirrels are typically moving into homes as things get colder. We get towards winter. They're looking for warm places to find shelter or store food to weather the cold weather just like we are.
And has it changed over time at all? I know last winter we had a pretty mild winter. So is it different compared to that?
There's a little bit of seasonal variation. I think year to year we mostly see, as soon as the temperatures start dropping below freezing at night, is when we start to see that uptick in rodent activity. Last year, like you said, it was a lot more mild. So we did see some of our other summer, late summer species really pushing into the fall. And then the mice were kind of taken off into the December months.
So why do these animals, why is our house the prime real estate for them to want to come in when it gets this cold weather?
They're looking for the same things we are. They're looking for places to sleep, places to find shelter, food, water. And the way that we build our houses just so happens to provide all of those things for so many species that live around us. So it's not necessarily that we're taking the habitat away from them or we're building our houses wrong. It just so happens that the way we build our houses against the weather, focusing on water, wind, the elements, they're not built with wildlife in mind. So the little spots like an attic that, you know, is away from us, it's a great spot for an animal to live because it's climate controlled, so to speak. They're able to find the shelter in the same spots we are by taking advantage of these resources that we're really putting out for them.
So then what are some of the subtle, maybe telltale signs for homeowners that they should be looking out for that indicate that maybe they do have a critter or something in their house, whether that's, like you mentioned, a rat, a rodent, or even potentially squirrels, raccoons, or anything like that?
So the most common one that we hear from folks is hearing noises at night, little scratches, the tiniest little scratch in the back of the drywall, or even louder scratching noises is a good indicator that there's something living out there. We've had, you know, folks tell us that it's the tiny little scratching noise that indicates a mouse, all the way up to, it sounds like there's a bowling ball rolling around in my attic space. So, you know, the noises are a big one for indicating the presence of animals. Some of the more subtle ones, we're looking for chewing on wooden soffits, little areas in the trim that might be chewed away or pushed out of place. The sometimes more extreme cases, there's odor present from heavy wildlife infestations, but typically it's going to be hearing noises or seeing the little signs chewing, staining on the outside of the home.
Do certain animals move into different parts of the home? So like you mentioned the attic or maybe even the basement, depending on that animal's needs, does it depend then on what type of place in our house they're going to try to hide?
Absolutely. So if you think about what an animal's looking for, it's looking for that shelter. Different animals require different shelter needs. So cavity nesting birds that are typically going to be nesting in holes in trees, we'll look at a wall vent on our home, like a perfect little wall cavity or a tree cavity to build a nest in. Similarly, a squirrel is going to be building a small nest out of leaves in a tree. A soffit space that's somewhat protected from the wind and the elements can perfectly replicate that. A lot of bats are going to be looking for caves to roost in over winter. Our attics provide the exact same type of shelter that a cave might. So it's kind of finding that analog to what they're looking for out in the quote-unquote nature and finding it in our home.
What is maybe the funniest or most memorable story that you have about an animal extraction? Was there an animal that was particularly stubborn or even creative in avoiding some capture or anything like that?
The one that comes to mind right now is actually one from a couple of weeks ago. We had an adult skunk that was running around a neighborhood with a rodent bait box, so a bait station that was designed to poison rodents out in around a house. The skunk had gotten curious about what the bait was inside, smelled something that was attractive, and ended up getting its head stuck in it. And it was running around the neighborhood, couldn't see. So we got called out to help the little guy and ended up eventually freeing him after about an hour of very carefully trying to coax him out without, you know, too much force that might startle him into an unpleasant scenario for the neighbors, but gently enough that we could get it out and make sure that he could go on his way. And it was a good example of, you know, making sure that we want to be using rodenticides in the right way. Our company doesn't necessarily use them, but being more focused on the exclusion side can be a really important way to manage wildlife in the homes, but not provide the secondary, you know, potential downsides to them for other animals that might see them as well.
So how do you guys train then to be able to do this? When you say skunk, I'm instantly thinking, oh no, if I don't want to get too close because I'm going to get sprayed. So but here you are purposely trying to get close so you can help it. So how are you learning how to do all of this?
Yeah, so my background's in wildlife. I'm a wildlife biologist by trade. Went to school here at UW for that within the wildlife program. So I bring a lot of wildlife background to this, and you know, we train pretty much anybody who wants to get involved with wildlife to do the work that we do. Most of the work that we are doing is pretty hands-off for the animals. We let the animals do their thing, use a one-way door to evict them, and kind of rely on their own biology and their own life history to evict themselves from homes. And then we focus on the exclusion side. And we find that that's a really teachable skill set for somebody who really is passionate about helping animals, passionate about helping people, and allows us to really grow, you know, in all the areas that we're working.
What are maybe some of the misconceptions that people have then about these types of animals that are coming in, sneaking into our homes? Is there anything that they're instantly like, oh no, get them out, you know, I don't like them? What are some of those things that you hear?
The common assumption is that the way to solve these issues is to trap and remove the animal, trap and euthanize the animal, whatever it is, whether it's raccoons, squirrels, mice, whatever might be getting into the home. But the reality is these animals are very well adapted to the areas that we're living in. They're adapted to finding food resources in cities, and that's why they're taking advantage of the resources in our homes. And so if we were to simply remove that individual raccoon, so to speak, and move it to a different area, that creates a vacuum of resources in that area where just more raccoons, more squirrels, more mice, they're going to take advantage of the same things that attracted them to the home in the first place. And so by kind of reframing the problem that it's not necessarily an animal problem, it's a construction problem. How can we take away the habitat resource and wildlife proof the home, so to speak, to be able to say, all right, yes, we can get this individual out of the home. And then we can also guarantee that by looking at it from a more comprehensive perspective, none of the other raccoons in the neighborhood or the other squirrels, the mice, they're not going to be able to get in the future.
So when should homeowners attempt, you know, their own solutions versus when should they be calling you guys, the professionals, to come in and help?
I'm probably a little biased, but I always recommend going with the professional route. I think when wildlife's involved, there's a lot of complicating factors. Wildlife is often, they're often very unpredictable. In certain cases, they can be dangerous, whether the individual animal could be dangerous or there are disease concerns and whatnot. And so trusting the professionals to know what we're looking for from a safety perspective and efficiency perspective, all the different little things that go into those cases, and just knowing that no two situations are the same, it can be a really complex process. And so there are plenty of opportunities and resources out there for folks who want to try doing it on their own. But the complexity always leads me to suggest, you know, have a professional come out and at least give an assessment to see what options are on the table.
What kind of tools do you guys use? Are there certain systems or things like that that you use? You mentioned you are kind of standoffish in a sense to let nature take its course to help get them out. But I'm sure you've got to have some tools to kind of help you with that.
Absolutely. So the one that we rely on most is our one-way door system. And we have a one-way door system developed for just about every different species that we might come across. And so by using that and identifying all the different entry points, whether it's, you know, all the entry points that a mouse is using or a raccoon or a bat, and installing those one-way doors specific to those species on the entry points, we're able to evict those animals very efficiently because they're coming and going through those points on almost a daily basis anyway. So when they come back at the end of the night or the end of the day, they're met with a locked door. They relocate themselves to another one of their den sites in the area. And then by comprehensively wildlife proofing the home, we can guarantee that they're not just going to go to, say, another roof vent or another wall vent.
How many calls would you say roughly you guys get during the winter, just throughout the year or something? Kind of paint that picture of us. Just how busy are you?
Right now is one of our busiest times of the year. It seems like we're moving into November here. We got more calls about mice than we ever have, especially in the Madison area. So whether that's, you know, a factor of there just being more mice around moving into homes, more construction, more houses in general, more people, it's tough to say exactly why, but we've seen a ton coming in. We're going to at least 6 or 7 houses in the area every single day doing these inspections. We're probably doing the full wildlife exclusion, the mouse exclusions, at least once or twice a day. Those are, you know, long full day projects for our teams out there. So it's been a really busy start to the mouse season.
That's Marcus Mueller, owner of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control, along with us. He said that their role is similar to an electrician or a plumber in the sense that a homeowner can do some of those things themselves. But when it comes to a bigger job like this, in the case of those unwanted house guests, it's time to call the professionals. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
And 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
And on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin, be alert to that as you get out and about, maybe heading for the road early today. Otherwise, not a bad day in store. High pressure is trying to strengthen in from the west, but low pressure just pulling off to our east as well. The one that kept some rain in the eastern part of the state right through the afternoon. Well, now as that high approaches, skies in the west will clear out nicely today. Clouds may be a bit stubborn to let go in the east, so more cloudiness in the east. And even that will lead to temperatures that remain on the above normal side. Mid-40s, pretty much the average high right now, and we're talking about upper 40s in the far north and in the low 50s in the south. In fact, getting a little more mild on towards Saturday and even Sunday, especially in the east and south. It'll be a little cooler in the west on Sunday. Has to do with the next system approaching. A warm front pulling in may very well lead to a few more clouds, and by Saturday evening, a chance of rain, a slight chance of a little scattered shower could pop up Saturday night almost anywhere in the state. Will dry it out again by Sunday. Those temperatures staying on the above normal side. Very mild into next week as well, although a little unsteady. Some occasional rain chances popping up as we look toward Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe snowflakes on toward late in the week. I'll have more details right after this.
You're grateful for all the ways technology can connect us. Unfortunately, there are online scammers who want to take advantage. Malicious viruses, phishing scams, and identity theft are more prevalent than ever. That's why Rural Mutual includes cybersecurity protection as an option on every policy.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Kenosha and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update does call for some of that morning fog and partly to mostly cloudy skies. Mostly cloudy in the east, still some clouds in the west later on. Temps pushing up in the upper 40s in the north, low 50s elsewhere. Winds become northwest about 5. Mostly cloudy overnight. Could be a little hard to see that Beaver supermoon that happens right at sundown tonight. We drop back into the upper 30s and low 40s. Winds become southeast at 5. Partly sunny skies Saturday. Back up into the low 50s, maybe only upper 40s in the northwest. The slight rain chance Saturday night, and by Sunday, back to partly sunny skies, maybe only near 50 in the west, mid or even upper 50s in the east and south on Sunday, sounding very mild. South winds 5 to 15. Some chance of rain trying to edge back in then already by later Monday in that unstable pattern with a scattered shower possibility right on through mid into the later part of next week. So, Pam, it does sound mild, at least as we head through the weekend.
All righty, Stu. Thanks. Have a good weekend. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. On the way, the 2024 Leopold Conservation Award winners were announced yesterday at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's board meeting. We've got the latest. Stand by.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 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 WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump touts his pick to head the Department of Health and Human Services as the medical community expresses concern over Robert F. Kennedy Jr. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
The consensus is they're angry. They're very concerned that RFK Jr. simply does not have the scientific background to do this job properly.
House Ethics Committee could vote today on releasing details of its investigation into Matt Gaetz, Mr. Trump's choice for Attorney General. CBS's Michael Kaplan.
People close to the committee who I've spoken with say it's hard to imagine that this document or the details in this document never sees the light of day.
Trial set to begin today for the man accused of murdering a Georgia nursing student. The suspect was in the country illegally. University of Georgia law professor Ron Carlson.
I anticipate we will see an O.J. Simpson type defense. That is, the defense will challenge the reliability of fingerprint evidence and DNA.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Packers get ready for Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers practice outdoors in some light rain as they head out to face the Bears at Soldier Field Sunday. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley was asked, why did linebacker Preston Smith ask to be traded out of Green Bay and is now with the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak of what happened behind closed doors, requesting a trade, not liking the system. I have a great relationship with Preston. I talked to him after immediately and You know, I was happy to see him move on to a good place with a coach who I really respect. And I thought he did a really nice job. I think he's got a great opportunity now where he is. And that's really all I got for you.
College football, the Badgers host Oregon tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. High school football semifinals, the winners tonight advance to the state title games next week at Camp Randall. Basketball, the Badgers men's team, home tonight against Arizona. The Bucks in Charlotte tomorrow night against the Hornets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
We have a pretty nice weekend ahead, and you want to get out and enjoy it because things are eventually going to start to go downhill next week. Today, mostly cloudy, 53 this afternoon. Tonight, down to 44. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 54. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Cleta Mitchell, a 2020 Trump election lawyer who later pushed so-called election integrity laws in states around the U.S., is now calling for all U.S. Department of Justice voting rights and civil rights lawyers to be fired. Mitchell served in Trump's team of lawyers trying to overthrow the results of the 2020 election. Since then, her Election Integrity Network group helped state legislatures make it harder to vote by mail and to register and vote on Election Day. She also called for states to leave ERIC, the Interstate Electronic Registration Information Center, because of a conspiracy theory that it was run by George Soros. And most recently, she championed Trump's debunked claims of widespread voting by undocumented immigrants. November 13th, the same day Representative Matt Gaetz was nominated for U.S. Attorney General by President-elect Trump, Mitchell wrote in a social media post, quote, "Every lawyer in the voting section and likely the Civil Rights Division needs to be terminated. They are not supportive of President Trump or MAGA. There has to be a reckoning. These are left-wing activists who have come from and should return to their left-wing organizations," unquote. It's unclear whether Mitchell's influence is enough to dismantle the DOJ's voting rights and civil rights units, but it's indicative of the voting rights challenges ahead. We have more on Mitchell and her so-called election integrity projects at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
So that was really, really impressive. And you mentioned kind of the night as a whole.
I've been a little bit, maybe a little disappointed with some of the fans showing so far at these first few games.
Pretty blunt.
I'm expecting a major atmosphere Friday night. I think it could be a special night in Madison.
Yeah, same, dude. Yeah, John Tanjay, I don't know, because people keep calling in. They're like, I don't know who's on the team. I don't know, like, who to cheer for. You can look at John Tanjay, man, and it's like, this guy's, what is it, AJ Storr, $1.2 million for Kansas. He scored 6 points last night. He falls out of the game. John Tanjay, I think, was under, like, $500,000, I think, coming in. The rumors, anyways, for NIL money. This guy, I think he's going to be pretty damn good for Wisconsin throughout this entire season. I like what he brings to the table. Like, it's a nice addition for losing AJ Storr, is it not?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree anymore. And I think what's impressed me so much, actually, we got to speak with him at local media day, even before we got to see these games, he's kind of got a really, like, humble, you know, hardworking, focused mindset.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Stick around. We're catching up with Adam Kask. He's the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Soybean Association. One really popular winter event that happens in Wisconsin Dells is our Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. We're going to find out about speakers and some of the emphasis of that conference before we wrap her up today. So it is the 15th day of November. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1956, Elvis Presley made his movie debut. Love Me Tender was the name of the movie. It was a black and white musical. He was the star. The movie was named after Presley's hit single by the same name. Elvis Presley on the big screen back on this day in 1956. And happy birthday to Aaron Rodgers' old girlfriend slash fiance, Shailene Woodley. She is 32 years young today. And now you know. Well, speaking of history, they're celebrating some of that now in Fond du Lac. The American Agri Women brought their national convention to Fond du Lac this week. They're wrapping up their activities over the weekend. Fellow farm broadcaster and farmer herself, Renee Helper, got a chance to catch up with some of the women that were there from the very beginning. Several from Wisconsin, like Vicki Coughlin. She's a farmer from the Watertown area, and she was in attendance at one of the first American Agri Women conventions that was held in Milwaukee. Times were definitely different back then, and Coughlin explains a little bit about the agenda she saw developing with that group then.
That was the era also of Sister Thomas More Battelle's. And she was a nun from Wisconsin who I believe she was at Silver Lake College, a professor there. And she talked about how the power that we have in agriculture, if we know how to use it. And women, specifically women, have the power in agriculture to make a difference for our industry. And that was really impressive. So I heard her at this conference the first time, and then talked with other women from across the country that also were looking at issues that I all of a sudden was aware of that were affecting our family and farm. And from that time, from that meeting, is when the Wisconsin Women for Agriculture chapter that I'm in now, we actually formed our chapter.
Vicki Coughlin, she was one of the original attendees at the American Agri Women Convention held some 50 years ago in Milwaukee. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary in Fond du Lac this weekend. Their theme, 50 years of grace and grit. Again, thanks to Raynell Helber for giving us that information. We appreciate it. Well, speaking of information, we've got new information on the winner of the 2024 Leopold Conservation Award. It was announced yesterday at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Board of Directors information. We'll share the news and some thoughts from the family next.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Yesterday in Chicago, another soft day as far as our commodity prices were concerned. The December corn finished 7.5 cents lower at 419. March corn was down nearly 7 cents at 430 3/4. Big drop. January soybeans down 20 1/4 cents to 987.5. November new crop next year beans were down 15 at 1013.5. The wheat for December closed 10 3/4 cents lower, 530 1/4. July new crop wheat was down 9 1/4, 565 a bushel. Dairy markets yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped another 0.75 cents to $1.67 1/4. The 40-pound block cheese was down 3 1/4 cents to 165 3/4. Double A butter on Thursday down 3 cents, closed at 260 a pound. The December class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 22 cents at 1844. January closed 9 cents lower at 1865 a hundredweight. This week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released its long-awaited final decision on reforms to pricing formulas used by the Federal Milk Marketing Order. Here in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, we caught up with Tim Trotter. He is the CEO of Edge Dairy Cooperative, and he explained what he has initially taken from these recommendations.
Well, I think it's important to our dairy farmers that they have assurances that the federal order will be here and work better for them. I think what we're really excited about is there's more risk management tools and risk management benefits for not only farmers but processors. That's important in today's economy. But I think what we're looking to for the future is maybe there's more reforms coming forward, and we hope that there are.
Tim Trotter with Edge Dairy Cooperative, he's their CEO. He says they believe the proposed reform would slightly decrease the minimum regulated price private milk buyers have to pay to pooled milk producers in the upper Midwest. In the end, he says he really doesn't expect it to make much of a difference on any dairy producer's bottom line, but dairy producers will have an opportunity to vote on what USDA is recommending. The catch is, remember, that this is only a yes or it goes away. Either these revisions are approved or the federal milk order goes away entirely. Trotter explains more about the voting process that's coming up.
This is on a fast track. No, USDA will be sending ballots to those who qualify to vote. The qualification is you had to have milk pooled for the month of January of 2024. So the farmer will receive from the federal order a ballot. Now, farms that were depooled and not paying into pool that month will not get a ballot. So we know that we're going to be, you know, our numbers for the number of votes that Edge will get will be far less than what our membership number is, because there's many farms that are not pooled and they may not even know it.
That's Tim Trotter, CEO of Edge Dairy Cooperative. So again, dairy producers, what you probably want to do now is make sure that you're reaching out to whoever you work with as far as milk shipments are concerned and find out if you're going to be getting a ballot to vote on those revised federal milk marketing orders. Ballots should be arriving in mailboxes in December. And also remember, there may be block voting for your dairy cooperative, so investigate that situation now. And it's something we'll be talking about for the next couple of weeks for sure. And something we've been talking about for a while now, the Leopold Conservation Award. Yesterday, during the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's board meeting, they announced that Full Circle Farm in northeast Wisconsin has been selected as this year's recipients. That's Rick Adamski and his wife, Valerie Dantoin, and their family that operate Full Circle Farms. That's in Shawnee County, 240 acres that they have covered with a green protective blanket year-round. They have managed grazing systems that they put into place, and soil tests are routinely done to make sure their pasture's organic matter is 2% higher than neighboring tilled corn and soybean fields. They estimate that every 1% increase in organic matter helps hold 20,000 gallons more water per acre, which helps them withstand deluges as well as droughts. According to Rick Adamski, he says that they also work on improving their soil's organic matter levels and want to make sure that they're working on water infiltration on their farm. For their efforts as the 2024 Leopold Conservation Award winners, they pick up $10,000 cash for going above and beyond in their management of soil water, or soil health rather, and water quality, and also creating a lot of wildlife habitat on Full Circle Farm. They will also receive a beautiful crystal award that will be presented during the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting December 8th. That's in Wisconsin Dells. Now, we've got not only the story about the Full Circle Farm, but also our conversation with Rick Adamski about his philosophies when it comes to soil conservation and wildlife habitat. And all of it's available whenever you want to pop on over. MidwestFarmReport.com. You can read the article in our daily e-newsletter, and you can also take a look at our conversations with all the Leopold Conservation Award finalists in our podcast playlist, available at the same site. Just pop on over. MidwestFarmReport.com. Up next, we're focused in on another big winter conference, the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, coming to Wisconsin Dells in 2025. We'll find out more details next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's first, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah. Expo. Adam, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. It's not about just the cutting edge information that you're getting or the fantastic trade show. It's about the camaraderie, the catching up in the hallways that really seems to be the exclamation point on Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. Tell us what we've got coming up in 2025.
Yeah, thanks, Pam. I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, we're really excited to bring the Corn Soy Expo back for 2025 here. It's in conjunction with Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, Wisconsin Pork Association, and then obviously the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Like you mentioned, really just that atmosphere of corn soy. We're just really excited to have that chance to meet with all of our stakeholders, our producers in the state, and hopefully put on a great show that they'll be excited to attend.
How many people generally have we had at the event? I know that's a tricky number, Adam, because there's pre-registration and then there's walk-ups, and that turns into a big crowd by the time everything's said and done.
Absolutely. Last year, I think we had our record-setting year last year, and we were right around 1,500 people, so we were thrilled with that turnout, hoping to beat it again this year.
Dates, folks, are February 6th and 7th back at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And again, I remind you that the registration is open soon, actually now, at cornsoyexpo.org if you want to take a look. And as Adam pointed out, it's not just about the Soybean Association. It's also about our corn growers and the Pork Association. I see you've already secured some of your speakers for the big event, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to having an economist speaker to help open up the show for us. Should be really exciting. Hopefully some good news by the time that rolls around. We've got several other speakers lined up. A lot of agronomic topics. We have Sean Connolly along with Damon Smith and Rodrigo Worley with University of Wisconsin that just do a great job. Always draw a huge crowd and have some really insightful topics. And several kind of newer breakout sessions we're trying this year. We're going to have some discussions on cybersecurity, cyber threats, looking at some DOT standards for a little education for our producers out there. Some of our sponsors are going to come back, and I know Bex Hybrid last year had a breakout session focusing on some of their agronomic topics, so we're excited to welcome them back again for that. And we'll be wrapping up with, we have a comedian kind of end the show on a little light note. Greg Warren will be joining us for kind of that close-up lunch session. So, yeah, we're really excited to see how this all comes together and hopefully put on a great show for everyone.
Again, like I said, it's February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, and registration is open at cornsoyexpo.org. And you've got a lot of exhibitors already committed to that event, Adam. How many do you have room for at the Kalahari? Because last year it seemed like every square nook and cranny was filled.
That's just it, Pam. It's really a great problem to have. We typically always have a full show. Of course, we wish we could welcome more people, more exhibitors, more people in there, but unfortunately it does fill up just with the space available. So total booth spots, there's about 150 booth spots in there, and that'll fluctuate a little bit as some of the companies want to come in and take up, two or three or four spots. But we're about halfway filled in our exhibitors right now, so it is filling up quick.
Boy, and it is such a great way to get all your information in one spot when it comes to your association activities. If you've got checkoff-related questions, that is the place that you will want to ask them. Adam Kask is along with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, Soybean Marketing Board. And like we said, it is the chemistry of the group coming together, Adam. I mean, probably the best exchange of information is that hallway conversation where they're comparing notes on how they manage through 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously a lot to look forward to here with, kind of changing political landscapes. We're really curious to see how everything comes together. Wrapping up the show, too, actually, we do have a trade policy panel where we'll have representatives from, corn, soy, and pork at the national levels to hopefully give our producers a little insight and kind of what they can expect and just kind of the lay of the landscape as we're, coming into this new year.
Boy, and let us hope by the time we get there, it'd be wonderful to be able to give them a bit of an update on whatever farm bill or farm policy we have before the end of the calendar year.
Absolutely. We're working hard with our national groups, to try to encourage our legislators to get something done, and we're really keeping our fingers crossed that we'll have some good news to share by that point.
Adam Kask is joining us today, brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, your checkoff dollars at work, helping to bring these kinds of educational programs together and share with you the research going forward that your checkoff dollars are invested in. Now, Adam, if people have never been there, what can you give them as far as step-by-step guidance to get registered and start making their plans for the 2025 Corn Soy Expo?
Absolutely. Well, Pam, you've kind of referenced our website, cornsoyexpo.org, and there is, you know, all of the attendee registration information is right there on the website, the hotel information. It should just kind of be a one-stop shop for anyone that's interested to go on there. You can view the agenda, view some of our current exhibitors that are signed up, some of the sponsors that are signed up, and we'll have a big presence there, so it should be an easy spot for them to get all that information.
Again, Adam Kask along with us. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. February 6th and 7th, the dates for Corn Soy Expo 2025 Kalahari Resort. And more importantly, as Adam pointed out, you can get registered today or find out more about the area you're interested in, be it exhibitors or be it speakers, at cornsoyexpo.org. This update brought to you courtesy of your Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board dollars. Research, education, and promotion. That's what it's all about. Find more about that at wisoybean.org.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
WRJN. WRJN. WRJN.
A global food brand addresses food insecurity in its own backyard. That's next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. If you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Hormel Foods Corporation has more than 40 product brands marketed in more than 80 countries around the world. Company President and CEO Jim Snee.
What we've come to realize is in our hometown of Austin, Minnesota, the food insecurity rate of approximately 10% hadn't changed in a decade. And lots of good work, lots of really strong resources, but the impact wasn't being felt.
Snee and his wife Tammy felt something needed to be done, and the Hometown Food Security Project was started. Tammy Snee.
So if people are hungry, they're not learning in school, they're not able to perform in their jobs, and they also feel disenfranchised from the community if they're struggling just to make ends meet and they're worrying that their kids aren't going to get fed. So we thought the biggest impact that we can make is get that part fixed. We can come together and address that.
For example, with Thanksgiving coming up, the project is giving out more than 3,000 turkeys this Saturday to folks who come to the fairgrounds in Austin to pick one up. Additional turkeys are being donated to food banks in several other nearby communities. My thanks to AgriPulse for the audio clips. There's a link to their conversation on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
Don Rosen in the morning, and you're home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. WRJN. Yeah! WRJN. WRJN.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is-